This week is Parshas Pinchas. Parshas Pinchas is the first week of the Bein HaMitzarim. There are three Parshios in the series. There is Pinchas. Next week is Parshas Matos Amasei. The third week is Parshas Tevarim. These are the three Parshios of the Bein HaMitzarim. The word Bein HaMitzarim comes from the Pasuk in Eicha, Kol Roitfeha Hisiguha Bein HaMitzarim. All of her enemies overtook her between the straits. And that's an expression, but we're using it here in reference to the 3 weeks between Shavuos v'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. It is a time when we know there are many halachas, many restrictions, to focus and dwell upon the Churban Beis HaMikdash. We have a special Haftarah this week and the next 2 weeks. These three Haftarahs are called the Gimel de Paranusa, the three Haftarahs that make mention of punishment, or warnings of punishment. What's very interesting is that this week we learn from Yirmiyah, and the next 2 weeks we learn from Yeshaya. And we would expect that as we get closer and closer to Tisha B'Av, the Haftarahs, the warnings, should get more and more severe. And they really do. If you look at the content of what it says, it seems that it does get more and more severe. However, we have a very big problem. We have a problem. What do I mean? What do I mean that we have problem? Okay, let's give me one second. There's someone that's trying to get onto the shear and we always have this problem. He has the wrong address. How do I get him the right address? I want to send him the right number. All right, here it is. Okay, sorry for that delay. This happens every week. Okay, now we're back in business. Now we have a problem. What is the problem? The problem is, We would expect as we get closer and closer to Tisha B'Av, the prophecies should be more and more severe, because we're getting closer and closer to Tisha B'Av. Yet, what are we laying the next 2 weeks? We're laying from Yeshaya. Yet this week we're laying from Yirmiyah, the Haftarah parish of the first week. We don't learn the Haftarah for Parashas Pinchas, we learn the Haftarah for the first of the Gimel de Paranusa. And that is taken from the very beginning of Sefer Yirmiyah. Chazal tells us that Sefer Yirmiyah is Kula Paranusa. The entire Sefer is full of harsh prophecies. Whereas Sefer Yeshaya is Kula Nechemta. The entire Sefer is full of words of comfort. Now, the problem with that statement is that if we study the contents of what it says in Sefer Yirmiyah versus Sefer Yeshaya, you would never come to that conclusion, because it appears to be the same. In Yeshaya, there are nice prophecies, very comforting prophecies, but probably the majority of Sefer Yeshaya, the majority is harsh prophecies. Gloom and doom. Doomsday at its best. And in Sefer Yirmiyah, same thing. You have gloom and doom, doomsday, and then there are some very beautiful prophecies of comfort. So why did Chazal say that the entire Sefer Yirmiyah is full of gloom and doom, whereas the entire Sefer of Yirmiyah is full of comfort? How could that possibly be? It's not. Go look at the content. It's a mix. It's a mixed bag, both. And the answer is, you have to understand the tone. Even when Yeshaya says words of harshness, in his harshness, there's a tone of comfort. Yirmiyah was Mr. Gloom and Doom. So even when he was giving over words of comfort, in the words of comfort, there was a tone of harshness. That's the only way to understand this statement of Chazal. Chazal make it very clear. Yeshaya, Sefer Yeshaya, Kula Nechemta. The entire Sefer, beginning to end, make no mistake about it, are words of comfort. Really? The first 40 parakim, 39 parakim of Sefer Yeshaya, doesn't seem to have any words of comfort. It's all doomsday at its best. And the comfort begins in Perek Mem, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami. And then after a few parakim, it goes back to doomsday. So what are you talking about? The answer is Chazal obviously were very clever, they're very smart, and they were able to see that even in his doomsday prediction, there is an element, there is a softness. There is a softness of comfort. Even in the harshness of his words, there is a tone of nechama. Whereas Yirmiyah, who speaks, even when he says something nice to you, there's a tone, there's a roughness, there's a coarseness, there's a tone of harshness, even in the words that appear to be comforting. Now, therefore, you learn from this something very important. In the Bein HaMetzarim, the laws of Avelus get stricter and stricter as we get along. We start off Chodesh Tammuz, even Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, you know, it's not such a happy month. And then as you get closer and closer to Shavuos v'Tammuz, the restrictions, you know, get stronger and stronger. Shavuos v'Tammuz, the Tainus. And then now we're during the 3 weeks. Then comes Chodesh Av, the 9 days, Shavuos Shechal Boi, Erev Tisha B'Av. As we get closer and closer, it gets more and more intense. Yet, in the order of the Haftorahs, we're getting softer. Because this week we learn from Yirmiyah, which is harsh, and then the next 2 weeks we learn from Yeshayah. Now, even though you'll tell me the content of what Yeshayah says is fire and brimstone, it's very, very harsh.
Each 2 weeks are from Yirmiyah, and then third week is from Yeshayah.
I'm sorry. The next week is also Yirmiyah. I made a mistake there. So the next week is also. I'm sorry. The first 2 weeks. Thank you, Mr. Weiss. The first 2 weeks are Yirmiyah, and then comes the third week. Oh, Erev Tisha B'Av. The Shabbos is from Yeshayah. Shouldn't it be the opposite? Shouldn't it be that if we will start out with a sefer that's dubbed Kula Nechemta, and then when we get closer to the real deal, then we should come to Yirmiyah, fire and brimstone. What's going on? And from this you learn an incredible chiddush, incredible yisod in the Haftorah. The Haftorahs are not necessarily coming to instruct you. We get a sense that the Haftorah is here to musashmus. Okay, it's Shabbos, everyone go to shul, the rabbi is going to talk, he's going to give you mussar for all of your averos, and everything that's no good about you, he's going to take out his belt and whip you all and get you into shape. That's the way I always looked at the Haftorah. The Nevi'im are speaking to us. Chazal were very clever. They were very clever in selecting haftaras that are relevant to the times, to what we need to hear. But you learn from the fact that the order has been reversed. That's not what Chazal had in mind. The haftarah is therapy. It's not, get to shul, I want to give you musa. The haftarah is not instruction, it's reaction. In other words, so let's explain. It's natural that as we get closer to Tisha B'Av, it's natural we get frightened. We get more and more scared. The Beis HaMikdash is about to be destroyed all over again. We relive the experience. The 3 weeks have begun. We are reliving the experience. The enemy has penetrated the walls of Yerushalayim. Every day, if we go back in time, almost 2,000 years, every day more people are getting killed as the enemy gets closer and closer to the Beis HaMikdash and is about to torch it. So what is our frame of mind? So when we're right before Tisha, the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av, we're in a very frightened state. We don't need a Navi to come and scream at us and say, that's right, you're in trouble, you're going to be punished, and Hashem wants to punish you in more punishment. We're already in a state of punishment and terror. We need the Haftarah of Shabbos Chazoin to give us Nechama. Oh, but you'll say to me, but you know, Shabbos Chazoin, the words of Shabbos Chazoin, the Haftarah, don't exactly seem to be words of Nechama. The Haftarah of Shabbos Chazoin is, Lama li zivcheichem yoymer Hashem. What do I need this for? It doesn't seem to be very comforting. You're right. It is, after all, Erev Tisha B'Av. But who's speaking to you? Yeshaya. Yeshaya is your friend. When Yeshaya comes up to the podium, that's Nechama. Oh, but he's telling us doomsday? You're right. You have to hear about it because doomsday is coming. But look who's at the podium. Yeshaya. Yeshaya is kula nechemta. In his harshness is a soft tone of comfort. But this week, it's Parshas Pinchas. It's the beginning of the 3 weeks. So, what is the reaction? You're not with the program. You're not taking it seriously enough. Don't you realize the walls of Yerushalayim have been breached? Don't you realize people are dying every single second? Wake up! Where are you, people? You're not yet there. Today we need Yirmiyah. Next week we need Yirmiyah. Even though Yirmiyah, it's not enough that Yirmiyah says harsh things. And in fact, you should know it doesn't. It says in this week's Haftarah, it doesn't really say such harsh things. It says some very nice things. Zacharti l'chesed nuraich avas klulo sayich lechtech acharei b'midbar. It doesn't say anything so terrible this week. It's pretty good, in fact. More or less. It's good stuff. But look who's at the podium. Look who's speaking. Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah is Mr. Doomsday. Just having him step up to the podium, though, means wake up. You're in a lot of trouble. You're not where you're supposed to be. In other words, we take out of this, is look at this principle I'm trying to bring out. We're coming closer to the 9 days. When we come close to the 9 days, it is expected that the content that we read about in the Haftarah of the Gimel Dipra Nusa should get harsher as we approach doomsday. Isn't that what we expect? Because look at the halachos. First is Shavuos B'Tammuz, then comes the 2 weeks, then comes Rosh Chodesh Av, then is Avitzav, then is Shavuos Shechalbay, then is Erev Tisha B'Av, then is Tisha B'Av. It gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. So the Haftarah should get worse and worse and worse and worse. And you know something? If you look at the content, if you look at the words of the Haftarah, what it says, it does get worse and worse and worse. This week is not so bad. Next week is somewhere in the middle. And then Erev Tisha B'Av, the list of the parashas, is Taka Doomsday. But wait a minute, there's a problem with that. There's a problem with that. Because it's not just what it says, it's who says it. When Mr. Doomsday gives you words of comfort, it's not much of a comfort. His presence alone is unsettling. Just the fact the Malach HaMavis walks into the room and says, I want to tell you some good news. Excuse me. If you have good news, put it in writing. Don't walk into the room. We don't need you here. We don't want you. We don't want to know from you. Stay outside. You have good news, so send us an email. Don't walk into the room. Yirmiyah walks into Shul the Shabbos. Yirmiyah, we don't want to hear what you have to say. No matter how nice it is, Yirmiyah is kula. I don't remember the exact words of the Gemara. The Gemara says the whole Sefer, from beginning to end, is not good. Because that's who you are, Yirmiyah. You don't have good things to say to us. Even when you say nice, pleasant words, it just doesn't come out with pleasantness. Yeshaya, even when he tells you doomsday, Yeshaya, we want to see you. I don't even know, even no matter what you have to say, it's a pleasure to see you. What does this teach us? The Haftarah is not a pure instruction. There's a major element in the Haftorah. Not, this is just Dover Haba, Dover Shahaya Bichlal, the Yotza Menachlal Lelamed, Loyal Lelamed Al Atzma Yotza, El Lelamed Al Kolaklal Kula Yotza. You learn from this is that the Haftorah is not just pure instruction. There's a major element in reading the Haftorah as a reaction, as a commentary, or a therapy almost, on what has happened. This week,
Rabbi,
yes?
Rabbi Levin, excuse me, if the toichen of Yeshaya is so good, why is it that they say that you should not, a person should, the name should not be called Yeshaya, you should call Yeshaya?
That's a separate, because he was killed, because he was murdered by Menashe. That's a separate point, a separate point. Working with the words of the Gemara. The words of the Gemara are Yeshaya, Sefer Yeshaya, Kula Nechemta, from beginning to end. And Sefer Yirmiyah is Kula Toichacha. It doesn't make sense. Those words don't make any sense. It's not true. It's not true. Count the psukim of Toichacha and Nechama. You will see it's not true. There is more Toichacha in Yeshaya than there is Nechama, and there is more Nechama in Yirmiyah than there is Toichacha. So what does it mean then? It means then is that...
We can say something else here. The Yeshayahu was in the time of...
Earlier, much earlier.
Ahaz, Uzziyahu, Yotam, Ahaz, Hizkiyahu,
Malchayim. 200 years before the Churban.
And he had a Chazon, not Divrei.
Right.
Chazon. He was
200 years in advance. Yeah, he lived through it. He lived through it.
It's not Chazon.
Okay, okay. Right, correct, correct. In the Chanami. Right.
It was closer to the Churban.
Yeshaya was 200 years before the Churban. Yirmiyah lived through the Churban. He watched the Beis HaMikdash burn.
That's right.
In the Chanami. But I'm not going. That's a side point.
It right. Was Mr. Churban. That's it. Yeshayahu, Mr. Chazon.
From the vision, it was a vision. The point is, yeah. But when Yeshaya, so what would you expect? We would expect to read Erev Shabbos Chazon, which should be from Yirmiyah, gloom and doom. And these 2 weeks, we should be reading from Yeshaya, because it's too early, it's premature. So what is the lesson? Yeah. It's a very important lesson. The Haftorah is here to whip you into place. In other words, this week we're not so upset. So the walls of Yerushalayim were breached. All right, listen, the Beis HaMikdash is still standing. We got 2 more weeks to go. No. You're not in the right frame of mind. Don't you realize what has happened? We need Yeshaya, you need Yirmiyah, we need Mr. Gloom and Doom to put us in the right frame of mind, because naturally, when the Tzara begins, we don't really appreciate the depth of what has happened. By the time we're up to Shabbos Chazon, 2 weeks from now, going through the summer, you're not allowed to eat meat, you're not allowed to take a shave, you can't do this, you can't do that, we got it. We got it. We got it. Now, when it comes to the Haftorah is not more Musar. The Haftorah is to settle us. Okay, you're now in a natural state of, you got it. I'm here to give you comfort. The comfort of Yeshaya already begins before, not because, it's not a time of comfort, because the words of Yeshaya are pretty, pretty serious words that we're going to be reading at Shabbos Chazon. But look who's speaking. Yeshaya is speaking. Because the Haftorah is to correct the situation. The Haftorah takes into account where you are now. The Haftorah is not purely a message for the future. Many of us look at the Haftorah, oh, it's a message concerning what's going to be in the future. No, the Haftorah is a reflection of what has already happened. And let's review the events of the week, of what has happened in the past, and let us correct you, put you now in the right frame of mind. This week, what has happened? The walls of Jerusalem have been breached. It's human nature that when a tzara first begins, I'm okay. I can deal with it. I'm okay. No. You should not be okay. Don't make believe you're okay. You should not be okay. There's something wrong with you. Because it's really, really, what happened this week, reflecting backwards, is you're in the wrong frame of mind. There was a tzar that happened this week and you're not in the right frame of mind. 2 weeks from now, when we will be in the frame of mind that we're supposed to be in, because that's all human nature, after you go through this process for 3 weeks, you get burnt out, this fatigue, and you're really miserable, then, oh, let's review. You've already been miserable for 3 weeks. Let me help you get through this. Let me help you. Who comes to the plate? Who steps up to the podium? Yeshaya. Now, Yeshaya doesn't have nice things to say. Don't make no mistake. This week, there's going to be a Churban. That's right. But listen, I'm here. I'm with you. And you're miserable? It's Shabbos? Let me get you through the day. This is a revelation. The fact that we're reading from people who if we were given the assignment to select sections for the Haftorah, for the Gimel de Paranusa, nobody would do this. Nobody. No one would select for the first 2 weeks from Yirmiyah and the third from Yeshaya. Impossible. No one would do this. You would do either all the same, or you would do just the opposite. The first 2 weeks would be from Yeshaya, and the third week would be from Yirmiyah. Mr. Doomsday would arrive Erev Tisha B'Av. Guarantee you that. So what's going on here? Who made these Haftaris? What's going on over here? Who selected these Haftaris? Answer is, the people who select, they knew what they were doing, because they understood what the purpose of the Haftarah is for. It's not to take you and give you a training course or a Musa Shmuz for what's going to happen in the future. The Haftarah is unique in that it is a reflection of the past. And with a reflection of the past, there has to be correction. There has to be, you have to be put into the right frame of mind of where you need to be holding now based upon what has happened thus far. Okay, let's go to a new idea. Pinchas
but nevertheless, you still read it with the Nigan of Eicha.
Right, and the content.
No, I mean to strengthen what you said.
Right.
I agree with what you said, but nevertheless,
it's the person.
I don't want you to get too much nechama here a little bit, still keep you in the right frame of mind.
I remember once, I don't want to tell you the name of the person, I remember the Agudas Yisrael, they once had a speaker. He was a comedian, a very big Talmud Chacham, and he got up to speak, and the people were just on the floor. He was hilarious. And they wanted him to speak at a certain event, a very sad event. And they said no, he was rejected, because when he just walks up to the podium, people already start laughing. Because he has that reputation of, I mean, he had that success, and he's associated with laughter. And even though now he's going to give a drush of fire and brimstone, but in the mind of the person, people, they look at him as, it brings back memories of pleasantness. And that's not what the goal was in this situation. When Yeshaya walks into the room, we're very happy to see him, no matter what he says. When Yirmi walks into the room, we don't want to see you. We don't even know, we don't hear. We don't care what you have to say. You're Mr. Doomsday. Even though the content is true, this is good. Let's go to a new idea. Pinchas ben Eloz ben Aaron HaKoyin. This week, Pinchas, he does something extra. Kanoi. A mamesh, a kanoi like he never saw. He gets up in front of the whole Klal Yisrael. He takes out his spear, and he murders two people. He executes two people on the spot. These two people have done a terrible avera. They were living with each other. Different opinions. They lived together in public. They did in private, whatever it was. But Pinchas ben Elazar. And then comes an incredible reward. The Ribbono shel Olam doesn't know what to do with himself. He's so happy. Hashem says, you did my work. You saved me my whole job. It says Pinchas ben Ezra, hey shivis chamosim al b'nei shal b'kanayas kinosi b'seichem v'lechilisi es b'nei shal b'kinosi l'cheinim or hini noises b'risi shalom. He gives him brachas and brachas and brachas gewaldig for the meise kanoyas of taking out his spear and murdering a person, a nosi who is mezaneh with the daughter of the king of Midian. I have a question for you. Let's go back to Parashas Vayishlach. Dina was abducted by Shechem. And there, after the Shechem, he lived with her. He did a terrible avera. This guy, he took the daughter of Yaakov Avinu. And then he begins to negotiate. He begins to negotiate with Yaakov Avinu. And then Shimon and Levi, they get up. Vayihi, after the whole, everyone knows the story. Vayihi b'yom ha'shlish b'yosem koyavim. Vayichu shnei v'nei Yaakov, Shimon v'Levi. Achei dina ish charba, they take out their sword. Vayavo elu alhu'ir betach, with confidence. Vayahargu kol b'chor, they wipe out the whole city. V'chulu v'chulu. Vayoymer Yaakov. El Shimon v'Alevi, achartem oisi. You've made me ugly. L'hav isheni, you've embarrassed me. B'yoish b'yoishei v'aretz. B'aknani v'aprizi. V'ani misei mispar v'nesfu alai v'ikuni v'nishmati ani uveisi. A kanoi? What are you, a bunch of kanoim? Who asked you to be a kanoi? Who asked you? Vilde kanoim? And what do they say back? What do you mean? V'yoimru. We're right. What do you think this is? You can just do this? We're within our rights. We are 100% within our rights to behave the way we behaved. They took the daughter of Yaakov Avinu and he raped her? And the whole city, there's no accountability. There's no responsibility. There's no outrage. What kind of world is this? What kind of society is this? This is unacceptable. Unacceptable. Beyond a shadow of a doubt. And this is what we do. And we're kind of, and we have acted with zealotry, kehalacha.
This is not kanoi pogobo. It has to be b'shas maisa.
You have a good kasha, but you can't slug up my whole drasha here. It is still in the standards of the times. Okay, this is the standards. This is before Matan Torah. I hear the kasha. It's a good kasha. I have another answer. I have a good answer, but let's hear me out first. What's going on here? Why, when it comes to Pinchas, does Hashem give him a groisa yashukayach? And when it comes to Shimon v'Levi, they get a musa shmus. Don't be a kanoi. What's the chilek between the two? There's a vart from Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, and I think his vart answers this kasha. His vart, his question is, he says it's a very powerful, it's a very profound idea, and he says, what in the world was Zimri thinking? You know, he's asking a general question, he's trying to, psychology, what is he, out of his mind? Zimri goes and he takes a shiksa, and he lives with her? What kind of crazy thing is this? So he says, you have to look very carefully what it says in the Pasuk. Zimri had a very good cheshbon. And he said like this. It says, it's really in the previous parsha, the end of Parashas Bolak, when Zimri did this, when Zimri did the Avera. It says, Vayakrev Elechov, he was Yakrev El Echov Es Hamidyonis. Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld asked a question. Why does it say Vayakrev El Echov? He brought the Midyonis close to his brethren. What does this mean? So he explains this file. It's a very deep idea. Chazal tell us that there are two problems with intermarriage. There are two major problems. Number one, Taiva, or it's not But the bigger problem with intermarriage, and we see this today, is intermarriage. It's possible. Really, it's a possible. A ferish pasuk in Dvarim. Intermarriage leads to avodah zarah. In other words, let's say a person would marry.
He is hischa, achicha, benimecha.
Let's say a person, Rachman Litzlan, would marry a non-Jewish woman. So what's the problem? He did an Avera, he has a Yetzirah, everyone understands that. Eventually they'll settle down and she'll convert. Eventually, just give her some time. The Goyim have nothing. They don't have religion. Christianity, Islam, this is all a fraud. Everyone eventually gets wind that there's no substance. And eventually she'll come around to see the beauty of Yiddishkeit and she'll convert. So if why should intermarriage be so a cardinal sin? He's nichshol eishes with a goya, living with a shiksa, she's not Jewish, the children are not going to be Jewish. But eventually, they'll come around, they'll see the beauty of Yiddishkeit, they'll all convert. You know what the problem is? It doesn't work that way. When a person marries a non-Jewish woman, it always goes the other way. The end is the man gives it all up and he's no longer religious and he ends up following his wife and he worships idols and his children worship idols. And that's just how it is. Why is that so? I don't know, but it's been proven time immemorial. That's the way the world works. When a Jew marries a guy, they descend to the lowest common denominator. It's a toxic mix, and for some unknown reason, the goya never sees the light of Yiddishkeit, and it always happens that the Jew gives it all up and becomes just like the guy and worships idols. That's the pasuk. It's mamash a pasuk in Chumash Devarim that if your brother will seduce you to do this or do that, that's the way it always goes, and that is why intermarriage is categorically forbidden. This is the Tamei HaMikra. Okay, this is the drush. The reason why the Torah is so against, there's no greater avera in the world than intermarriage. It's the worst of the worst of the worst, is because the result of intermarriage is everyone is an oyved avodah zarah. Whoever until now was Jewish becomes an oyved avodah zarah, and the children certainly become oyved avodah zarah. Whether it's a Jew marrying a guy, a man, whether the mother is Jewish, it doesn't make a difference. That's the result. That's what always happens in every situation. And therefore, the Torah says it's the worst thing to intermarry, because it's the end. It's the end of Yadus for that person, that family, for their children, forever and ever. There is no hope. And that's why it's the worst sin. Problem is, intermarriage is a very big Yetzirah. Look what's going on in America, 80% intermarriage. The Yetzirah is just overwhelming. Along comes Zimri. Zimri was no fool. And Zimri made this assessment. He looked at the whole history of the future of Klal Yisrael, and he saw what intermarriage would lead to. He saw the whole problem. And he said, I have a solution for intermarriage. You know what the solution is? Instead of going out to them, let's bring them to us. We're going to make a system. It's like, you know, it's like an Eishes Yifas Toyar. It's no different than Eishes Yifas Toyar. You go out to war, and you see a beautiful woman. You can't control your Yetzirah. So what do? You can't just live with her there. You got to take her home. You got to bring her home, and you got to tie her to the door. You got to bring her in. If you want to marry a shiksa, so there's got to be a system where we'll set up within Klal Yisrael a support system to bring the shiksa into Klal Yisrael, and that way we'll have a solution for intermarriage. We have an intermarriage problem in America of 80%. Throughout history, throughout Jewish history, it's destroyed Klal Yisrael. The numbers of Klal Yisrael today would be off the charts if there was no problem of intermarriage. So why don't we come up with a system, a support system, where if a person really wants to marry a non-Jewish woman, we should create a system where we do not allow him to go out into the Goyisha world, we should bring her into us and let her marry her, similar to Eishes Yefas Toyar. And Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld writes, that is what it means. This was the Cheshbon. It's a very logical, powerful proposal that was made by Zimri. Zimri wasn't a fool, because this parish is begging for an understanding. And he says over here, what does he do? He didn't go out, I give up Yiddishkeit, I'm done with this, I'm going to go live with the Shiksa. He brought her in. Vayakrev el echov. I don't want to give up Yiddishkeit. I want her to come over to the other side. So let her come into our society and be influenced. Vayakrev el echov es hamidyonis. And she should be under the authority of Le'enei Moshe. Moshe, you'll paskin for us. You'll give us guidance how we can bring a non-Jewish woman into Klal Yisrael. She doesn't want to convert yet. If she's going to convert, Geirus is Geirus. No problem there. If she's committed to the cause, she's Megayer. Of course. No. I have this non-Jewish woman. She refuses to become a Geirus. She refuses. Under no condition will she give up. Will she become a Geirus? She's not being mekabel the Taryag mitzvahs. But you know, okay, so let her not. Let her be mechal Shabbat. Let her do whatever she wants. But I still want to marry her. So create for Klal Yisrael a system le'enei Moshe, where she's part of amongst Klal Yisrael, have a Jewish wife and have a non-Jewish wife. I go to shul with my Jewish wife. My non-Jewish wife stays home and she watches the game. She watches the football game at home. What's so terrible? My children, I have Jewish children and non-Jewish children, but because I'm part of a powerful support system and we have a powerful environment of Yiddishkeit, we hope, and it's very, very likely that at some point in time down the line, my non-Jewish wife will convert and my non-Jewish children will convert. Why should it be categorically forbidden for a Jew to marry a non-Jew? I understand that if I go out into her world and I live with her in her world, then there's no hope. But why can't we make a system of Vayakrev El Echov? Under rabbinical supervision, le'enei Moshe u'le'enei kol adas b'nei Yisrael. This was his proposal, because if we don't do this, Moshe Rabbeinu, don't you know the Yetzer Hara to marry a non-Jewish woman is so powerful? Look at America. Look with Ruach HaKodesh. What's going to be in America where 80% of the Jews are going to intermarry? Why don't you do something about this, Moshe Rabbeinu? Why don't you just write them off? Why don't you create a system where a Jew can marry a non-Jew and still go to shul and have a good life? And we'll create an environment where ultimately she'll be overwhelmed with the beauty of Yiddishkeit and she'll ultimately, 10 years later, convert. Instead of me...
That's what the Reform are doing.
This was the proposal of Zimri. Zimri, what he proposed makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. There's a lot of chokhmah behind it. And this was Zimri's, this is what Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld says. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, Pinchas saw what was going on. And he saw, you're right, but you're wrong. And he got up and he executed him and her. Because Pinchas had insight to understand even though many, many times on paper, a lot of things make a lot of sense. We all know that on paper, but in reality, it doesn't work like that. All this big dilemma about, you know, this they grapple with every single second, all of the schools. They have students in the class that really don't belong there. And the danger is, who will influence who? Will the good kids overpower the bad influence of the child that's problematic, and that child will benefit by being straightened out because of the good environment of all of the other students in the classroom? Or do we say that this child who is a problem is such a problem, he's such a problem, we really are much more concerned he will have a bad influence on all the good students. Where do you draw the line? Oh, that's a tough question. That's a tough question. Where to draw the line, when to know when a student will, a student that's not 100% is safe, and adarabah, he has what to gain because the good students will influence him, versus situations where there's a real concern that a student will not be overwhelmed by the goodness, but pomfakert will cause harm to the good students. It's a tough, tough call. And there's no Rebbe and there's no principle in the world that does not grapple with this balance every single day. In Klal Yisrael, you have the same issue when it comes to intermarriage. And although maybe in logic it maybe makes a little bit sense, but but Pinchas had enough Ruach HaKodesh to see the Adraba. Allowing such a system to be constructed, to allow such a system, would very quickly lead to the Churban of Klal Yisrael. To bring a non-Jewish woman within us, no matter what you will do to erect safeguards and create a system where we will overpower her, this fellow comes to shul, how's your Jewish wife? She's here. How's your other wife, the shiksa? Oh, she's at home watching the game. She's great. You want to come over for lunch? That type of situation will ultimately lead to the Churban of Klal Yisrael when you bring this within. Pinchas got up, acted with kanoos, a kanoi, a wild kanoi, executed them, and the Ribbono Shel Olam said, Pinchas, a grois yasher koach. What a yasher koach, what you've done. You've done my work. Fantastic. Mark, you look at that screenshot of you. It's just unbelievable what you look like on that screen. You're frozen in a position I never saw before. This is a kanoyis that is fully acceptable. But when it comes to Shimon and Levi, are you able to hear me, Rabbi Yisai? Are you able to hear me?
Ezra, throw all the women outside. Ezra.
Okay, right. But when it comes, exactly. When it comes, they went outside. This Maisa took place outside of Klal Yisrael. There's a nucleus of Klal Yisrael. Yaakov and his 12 sons. Dina was abducted, was taken mechutz l'machaneh, to Ir Shechem, far away. Is the nucleus of Klal Yisrael threatened right now? There are 12 Shvatim. Are you all you guys okay? Is everyone fine? Are we pure? Are we good? Yeah, we're all good. Did a terrible tragedy happen? Yeah, a terrible thing happened. This is unexcusable, unacceptable to allow such a thing to happen. But just because it's unexcusable, unacceptable, doesn't mean you have to be a kanoi and go out and wipe out a whole city. Who asked you? It was on the outside. The kanoyos here was sanctioned and was approved because it was vayakrev el echov. It was within. Within. You don't accept nonsense within. Nonsense can be tolerated without. You got to be very careful when you go out and you act with kanoyos on the outside world. That we don't accept. But when there is a defilement of the sanctity of Klal Yisrael within, then we, and obviously we're not, no one's today can do such a thing like this today, because today, but at least in concept, is that's a different madrega. We have to appreciate there are two stories in the Torah that are almost identical. Mamish identical stories. What's the difference? What's the difference between these two stories? A man, he rapes a woman, he commits such a lewd act. In the context of each story, they're not exactly the same story, but the principle behind of what's going on is exactly the same. And in one place, Kanoyas gets the biggest yasher koach in the world possible to get the bris of Shalom. Eliyahu, he becomes Mashiach, v'chulu, v'chulu, all the things unreal. And yet, Shimon and Levi, they get a Musa Shmuz. And Yaakov Avinu says he doesn't give them a bracha when he dies. And Moshe, they got grace at Tzaras, these two guys, Shimon and Levi. What's so bad? Mind your own business. This is not internal. This is not domestic politics. This is not a domestic issue. This is foreign policy. Foreign policy, you don't need to be a kanoi. You don't need to be a kanoi. You want to be a kanoi, you have to know when, how, where, what. It's not something which you get a blanket heter and a big yashukoyach.
The key, maybe Derech Halotza, that's why in Bati Midrashim you find many people do things kanois.
Oh no, and I told you, don't extrapolate. This is a very dangerous thing to extrapolate. No extrapolation here. Let's just study the two stories in the Torah and appreciate the difference between them. Vayakrev el echov es hamidyonis, within, to create a new system within Klal Yisrael. Shimon v'Levi is without. She vayteitze Dina. The parsha begins that Dina, she left. She went out into the world. Vateitze Dina lirois bivnois kenan. She went out into the world and she got into trouble. And now the troops came in. Okay, bivnois haaretz. She left. She left. She got into trouble. She dialed her brothers. Her brothers came to rescue her. Yaakov says, what right did you have to wipe out a whole city? Who asked you? Who asked you? There's a very big difference in within and without. Okay, let's go to another idea before.
Maybe Zimri thought that Moshe Rabbeinu married the Midianite. So what's wrong?
Oh, because Moshe also brought within Klal Yisrael the Midianites. Right, Moshe.
He brought her in.
Exactly. That's what the Tainis. Yes. You're supporting what we're saying.
That's what his idea.
That's what it says in the Pasuk. They said, Moshe, if we can't do this, what about you? You brought Tzipora. Who is Tzipora? Is she Jewish? Did she convert? When did she convert? Look, you see the influence you had upon her. The same way you're married to a non-Jewish woman and she ultimately converted. So let us also follow in that pattern and create a system. No. It doesn't work like that. Okay, on paper, it may seem like it works, but it does not go like that. Important principle to appreciate the difference between the two. Okay, let's go down before we get out of time. This week, I really believe this week, Rabbi Sai, is Simchas Torah. Could you imagine I say such a crazy thing today, tell you? That this Shabbos, it's like they should get up and say, Mereshos. No. They should give out Chosin Torah, Chosin Bereshis, Maftir. You're probably looking at me like I'm from Mars. What am I telling you? That this week is Simchas Torah. I'll prove to you that this week is Simchas Torah. Prove it to you. On Simchas Torah, what do we learn? We learn three Sifrei Torah. We take out three Sifrei Torah, right? We take out The first we learn from Vezoyis Habracha. We finish off Vayal Moshe. We Messiah the Torah Hakadosha. The last few pesukim of the Torah deals with the death of Moshe, the Petira of Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayal Moshe. Let me read you the last pesukim of the Torah. What happens at the end of Vezoyis Habracha? It says Yeshua ben Nun. The last psukim of Moshe was 120 years old, and he goes. I'll show you Eretz Yisrael, and he give it to your children. First, Hashem says to Moshe, Moshe, go. I want to show you Eretz Yisrael. I want to show you the whole land. And then Hashem says to Moshe, Moshe, it's time for you to die. And Vayikbar Isai. He was 120 years old. The whole Klal Yisrael cried for him. Yoshua bin Nun, v'Yoshua bin Nun mole ruach chokhma kisomach. He got smicha from Moshe Rabbeinu. Es yod of olav. vayishmu elo bnei Yisrael vayasu kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. V'loi kom navi oi b'Yisrael ki Moshe asher yidoi Hashem. L'chol o'isais, l'chol yer chazok, l'chol maragol o'osh, l'osh l'eni kol Yisrael. Fine. Basically, if you pay attention, the last psukim that we lain for Choson Bereishis, more or less, is a summary of Parshas Pinchas. You realize that? The Aliyah that we give Choson Torah is, I don't know, 100%, but I would say close to 80%. 80% a summary of Parshas Pinchas. This week we learn about the Chalukas Haaretz, Yerusha, the Chaluka. We learn about this is how the land will be divided by a goyrol, and this each shave is going to get this chelik. We describe the Chalukas Haaretz, and then Bnei Slavcha come along. It's not fair. We don't have it. Okay, you'll also get land. Everyone gets land. Moshe Rabbeinu gets up here. Vayal Moshe. Hashem says, Hashem shows him the whole Eretz Yisrael. Look at the land. V'yes ha-negev. V'yemah Hashem elov. Zois ha-oretz. Asher nishpati li-Avraham, li-Yitzhak, li-Yakov, le-mor, le-zaracho, etneno. I'm going to give it to them. Herisicho v'yeinecho, see it. V'shem elo yosavar. The first half of the parasha deals with the chalukas ha-oretz. Right there and then. And then we go into Moshe says, we need. I'm gonna die. I need a replacement. Yeah, that's right. Yoshua's your man. And then the parasha goes and describes in great detail that Yoshua to give him smicha, and Moshe is a somach yodav, and that's what it says. Moshe dies, and Yoshua binun gets smicha, and he takes over. Then again, then there are the korbanos. Okay, then there's a whole section of the first. Basically, 80% of the parasha, the first 80% of the parasha basically is summarized in a few psukim in the very end of a Zayis HaBracha, which is given to the Chasson Torah. It's clear as day, it's undeniable. Undeniable. After we have Chasson Torah, what do we do next? What comes next? Maftir. We have Maftir, you know, it's Simchas Torah, it's Shmini Atzeres. So what are you laying for Maftir? Uvayoyim Hashmini. Atzeres tiyolchem, uvayom hashmi atzeres tiyolchem. Kol lechas avodah lo yisasu. Vikraf temoy lo lirech nichlashem. Par echad, ayel echad, kivasim bnei shana arbas mimim. And then we learn the last pasuk. Vayidaber Hashem. We summarize everything. Vayidaber Hashem. What's the last pasuk? Vayoyimer Moshe el bnei Yisrael ki chol asher tziva Hashem es Moshe. Guess what? The maftir. Tomorrow, Shabbos Pinchas, is exactly the same maftir that you lain on Simchas Torah. How do you like that? The end of Parashas Pinchas is all the korbanos, starting with the Karban Tamid, and then Shabbos, and then Rosh Chodesh, and then the Moadim, and the very end of Parashas Pinchas concludes with Bayoim Hashemini. We will lain tomorrow for Maftir exactly the same thing that we lain for Maftir on Simchas Torah. So far it's Simchas Torah. We have six aliyos. We have the whole parasha until we get to the Korbanos is basically Chosin Torah. And then we have Maftir. And then what's the third thing we lain tomorrow? The Haftorah. What's the Haftorah of the first week? The first week of the Gimel, the 3 days of Paranusa, we lain from Yirmiyah. We lain this week in most Chumash, it appears as the Haftar for Parash Matos, Divrei Yirmiyah ben Chilkiyah ben Akoyanim. And it talks about recruiting, looking for some good men to serve, to recruit people for the service. And then it ends off with these magnificent psukim. It ends off, Vayihi devar Hashem elai lemor, holoich, vikorosa, viozne Yerushalayim lemor, go out. Koyamar Hashem, zocharti loch, chesed neuraich, ahavas kliloisoich. Okay, we're talking about, by the way, chosn kala here. Okay, chosn Torah, chosn bereishis. Ahavas kila. I love the days when you were a kala, chosn kala. Lech tech achre b'midbar yitz leizrua koydesh yishol la Hashem. Reishis tivu osoy. The Jewish people are the first of Hashem's tithe, of Hashem's teruma. Kol oichlov yeshamu, anyone that cheppes, anyone that he tries to consume or start up, will make problems. They will be ro'ot tova yaleim lum Hashem. What does the Torah begin with? Bereshis bara Elokim, bishvil Yisrael shenikru reshis. Because of Yisrael, for the purpose of Klal Yisrael, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the world. And how do you know that Klal Yisrael is called Reishis? Because of this pasuk. Because Kodesh Yisrael HaHashem Reishis Tevu Asoy. Does Rashi in fact quote this? I forgot. Besides the famous Rashi, why did the Torah begin the world? The Parasha. But let's go look over here. In Bereish, Bereishis, Shemayim, Aretz, in Tov Vavo. Let me just look at the Rashi over here. Bar Elokim. No, doesn't say it over here.
No, Rashi does not. The first Rashi does not mention that.
Okay, Bereish Elokim. Okay, all the Mepharshim, they all darshan this on the first pasuk in Rashi.
Bereishis bara b'shvil Yisrael, and so on.
But Bereishis bara b'shvil Yisrael. Shenikru reishis bara Elokim es hashamayim v'es haaretz. How do you know Yisrael is called reishis? Right here, the Haftorah, Kodesh Yisrael Hashem reishis tivu asoy. So isn't it amazing? I mean, you can't deny this. Tomorrow is really Simchas Torah. The first chunk of the parasha, from beginning to end, is clearly summarized in the few psukim that we give the Chosan Torah. Vayal Moshe. And then we learn exactly the same after Mila B'Mila. And then when we do the Haftorah, we're just repeating, we're just doing Chosan Bereishis. Chosan Bereishis, the start all over again. B'Shvil Yisrael Shenikru Reishis Boro L'Kim Eis Hashemayim V'Eis Haaretz. How do you know we're called Reishis? The pasuk of the Haftorah, the end pasuk. Isn't it amazing? Tomorrow is Simchas Torah. Ain't Simcha k'Simchas HaTorah? My high. Where does Simchas Torah come to tomorrow? The answer is, the Golos has begun. The Golos has begun. The walls of Yerushalayim have been breached. The war has begun. And we're losing the war, and we're going into Golos. And in Golos, we say the Ne'ilah, in the Slichos of Ne'ilah on Yom Kippurim, in Golos, Ein Lanu Shiur Rak HaTorah Hazos. The only thing that kept Klal Yisrael throughout history is the Koyach of Torah. No other nation could survive even a day in exile. It is the koyach of the Torah. Ein lanu shiur rak haTorah hazois. Ribbono shel Olam is speaking to us. And he's telling us, you are reliving the story of Golos. It's the Bein HaMetzarim. It's a very sad tekufa in Jewish history. These 3 weeks, we relive the Churban Beis HaMikdash. But as you relive this horrific event and reality of being in Golos, don't forget to hold on to your most prized possession. It is this that will guarantee your survival. To be oiches in the Torah HaKadosha. And not just a little bit. It's your simcha, it's your shleimus, it's everything. Ki hi lanu oiz v'chedva. Sisu v'simchu b'simchas haTorah. Ki hi lanu, I forgot the exact, oiz v'chedva, I forgot the exact words. But this is it. This is not an accident that tomorrow is a perfect parallel to Simchas HaTorah. This is what we need to get us through the Golus. You know, this year, I think we can appreciate this in a much smaller dogma.
Microcosm.
Thank you. This year with Corona, right? So what happened with Corona? Everything came to an end. There's nothing left. No one went to work. No one went to daven. All the shuls, weddings, shidduchim, simchas, bris milah. Everything was like never ever before. Everything was shut down. But what did not stop? What kept us going? Eilanu shiur rak haTorah hazois. All of the shiurim and all of the shuls, no excuses. Okay, I've heard from many people, they have more people learning in their shiurim than ever. There's no excuses. They can come on Zoom, they can come on the telephone. There's no excuse. Where are you going? Where are you going? You're sheltered in place. Whether you're in Florida, you're in LA, you're in Eretz Yisrael, you ain't going nowhere. And where did everyone turn to? When there's no davening, no work, no mitzvahs, no weddings, ein lanu shiur rak haTorah hazois. And that's what kept us together in this difficult time. It's not a coincidence that this Shabbos is Simchas Torah. Not a coincidence. It's because when the Golus begins, Hashem was boirei the refuah koidem the makah. The makah is coming. But I'm giving you this week a very powerful reminder of what the refuah for the makah is. To maintain your allegiance, your loyalty, your connection to the Torah HaKadosha. Kira Boisai, have a wonderful Shabbos. All the best to all of you. Mirz Hashem, see you all again soon. Monday morning, 9:30, if not sooner. Be well. Good Shabbos. Good Shabbos. Baruch Horowitz, Shalom Aleichem. Shabbos. Good Shabbos. Good Shabbos. Alan, good Shabbos.